For the recording, I'm Brady Collier. This is Balancing Life's Responsibilities. Let's start off in the Bible. Take your book. I'm going to read three verses. I'm going to ask you just to follow along. I'm going to start in Colossians 4:17. Love this verse. All right, Colossians 4:17. Super short verse. I could have chosen a bunch of different ones to illustrate this point, but I think this one will suffice. Say to Archippus, this is the Apostle Paul telling the people who received in Colossae, who received the letter, say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. I chose this because that's a very succinct way to say it. Take heed. And you know, he's saying this to Archippus, but I could look up at this crowd and say, Sam Penny, take heed to the ministry you've received of the Lord, that you fulfill it. I could say that to almost everybody in the room. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Back a page or two. And suspend in your mind, take heed to the ministry you have received of the Lord, because I'm about to ask you to compare and contrast like an idea here. And I chose Ephesians 6 because no matter who you are in this room, you can find yourself in Ephesians 5 and 6. So I find myself in verse 4 of chapter 6. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That's a message all in and of itself. But bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So, you know, it addresses wives in Ephesians 5:22, and husbands, love your wives in 5:25, and children in 6:1. But I'll just use this verse, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then 1 Timothy, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Sorry, not 1 Timothy 3. I'm going to do 2 Thessalonians 3. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is a longer text, so stick with me through the text. I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and starting in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, that's strong. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, withdraw yourselves from every person that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. Now, what tradition is he specifically talking about here? Let's keep reading. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. We did not behave ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. But we wrought with labor, and I'm reading now the King James, so we wrought with labor and travail night and day so that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we didn't have power, but to make ourselves an example to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if any would not work, neither should he eat. So he commanded them, if there was people who would not work, they should not eat. That's strong. Continuing on, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man doesn't obey our word with this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Specifically talking about people who, and then the context, maybe they think that the day of the Lord is coming and so on and so forth. But this we commanded you, if any person won't work, he shouldn't eat. So, in this, which one of these three commands is the most important? And I'll take audience participation, not a rhetorical question, even though I know what you're going to say. Which one of these commands is the most important? Not all, everybody at once, just one at a time, orderly. Okay, Caleb, thank you for volunteering. Which of these commands? We have three commands here from the apostles. If a man shouldn't work, he shouldn't eat. take heed to the ministry you've received of the Lord. You better fulfill the ministry you've been given of the Lord. And Caleb, you need to love your wife and bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know Caleb, he sat on the front row. He's a sucker, so I'm going to pick on him. Which one of those three is most important for you?
They're all important.
They're all important. So you have work. Now, I went on a family vacation to Austin recently, and my wife found a guy who taught how to do wall art, aka graffiti. And I actually got a lesson in how to do bubble letters. And I was so excited to put that to practice on this orange. It's good, huh? Now, I want you to know they all look that good until I put them in my backpack in the Sharpie. That says family, even if you can't read it, okay? So with family, raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a command from the Apostle Paul. With work, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And he says some really, really strong things there to kick people out of your churches and stuff if they're slackers. That's strong. And then he says, take heed of the ministry you've received of the Lord, that you fulfill it. So we have these three commands, and Caleb says they're all equally important. Does anybody want to disagree with Caleb on that? That would make this very interesting right now if somebody said, listen, I feel like the family command to raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is more important than the command to take heed to my ministry. Because if my family falls apart, then I won't. Does anybody want to make an assertion so bold? Okay. You want to give any commentary, or you would just say family is the priority command over the other two? Okay.
I'm not doing well with my family. How am I going to be an example to,
Yeah. That's very good. I'm a working man. I have a job. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead. Most of you don't know me, so I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. First of all, they asked me to do this session because I'm not very good at this topic, and I've had to work really, really hard on this. And so they said, hey, why don't you talk about the struggle of this? So let me just roll through my life. Let's start over here with family. This is my wife, Becky, over here. She's going to help answer questions in just a little while. And then we have five kids. They're 18, 16, 14, 8, and 6-year-olds. And they are participating in theater. One of them's in college, which is that serious relationship stage of life. And two of my kids are really amazing at theater, and so they're actors. They play tennis. One of my kids plays volleyball and basketball. I have kids who are about to do gymnastics. And beyond that, they're in this demanding school. And my wife homeschools them 2 days a week, and they go to this little school 3 days a week. And so needless to say, with five kids and all of that going on, family is like just keeping that ball up in the air is a lot at times. It feels like a heavy weight to be born sometimes, to be at all the athletic events. And my heart is to be there for my kids and watch their dramas. But then at the same time, I moved back from Honduras where I was, we were missionaries for a little while in Honduras, and started a commercial real estate brokerage company. So we sell and lease shopping centers. And so then we started developing new shopping centers. So we buy land and we sign leases with tenants like Five Guys and other restaurants. And then we build shopping centers around them and we get investors. And then we go and sell those things. And then we started a construction company to build those. And so we have 15 to 20 employees that are out there leasing shopping centers, building shopping centers, and working with municipalities to get entitlements done on shopping centers. So that's what I do for a living. And sometimes it's a lot, right? But then I've also got, a basketball game to go to and family devotionals to keep up with my kids and family night on Sundays. And I got to keep both of those in the air. Well, by God's grace, when we moved back from Honduras, a friend called me and he says, hey, I think we should start a training program for college and career aged people to train young people who love the Lord but don't know how to do the work of the church, and maybe their churches haven't totally equipped them in that. And so we need to teach them how to study the Bible and how to preach and how to teach and how to do biblical counseling and how to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and build a community of young people who are passionately following the Lord. And so we named it Galilee because that's where Jesus called his disciples. And then he said, hey, well, let's move our 9-month training program to Lubbock so you can help with that ministry. And so we have a 9-month training program for 7 to 10 guys and gals that we host at our church. And then the elders, for some crazy reason, asked me to be an elder at the local church. And every now and then I'll speak and do whatever else. And so I thought about this because I thought, what a perfect analogy. Because if you're like me, and most of the people in the room are, that's why you chose to come to this, you value your family and you got to keep that going. But you also, you have a job. I had a job. I go to work every day. Well, I go to work Monday through Friday. And I got to keep that ball going. And here's what it turns into. That illustration would have been bad if I knew how to juggle, but I was 100% confident I would drop those oranges in a very short time period. Because that's how my life feels a lot of times. I'm really stretching to get this one, and then I'm coming back over here to get this one and trying to keep all those balls in the air. It always starts good with good intentions, but it always gets out of hand really, really fast. That's life for so many people in the room, I feel like. And if it's not your life yet because you don't have a wife and kids and so on and so forth, you still are trying to keep work and ministry going. And maybe that's the will of God concerning you, that you keep both of those commandments going simultaneously, because Caleb said, they're all the commandments of God for our life. So, I'm not bragging about all I've got going. That's just why they asked me to do it, because it's a struggle for me. It's really tough. My wife tells me that if you have somebody who's a great evangelist, they're oftentimes not the best evangelism instructor or trainer or teacher. Because when they just open their mouth and they're on an airplane, the gospel just flows out of their mouth in the most natural way, and people just get saved on airplanes and in the highways and byways of life. But if you're a terrible evangelist that's had to work really, really, really hard over a period of time to become an evangelist, then you can take other people that aren't great evangelists and teach them evangelism. So in my natural disposition, there is no balance whatsoever. I'm an extremist by personality. So I'm extreme with family, and I'm extreme with work, and I'm extreme with ministry. And so just being an extremist, a balanced life is really a difficult thing for me. So just like a recovered alcoholic makes the best AA leader, I'm here to share my top 10 tricks at balancing family, work, and life, and ministry. And here's the flow. I'm going to tell you mine. You're going to write them down, and you don't have to write them down. I don't care if you write them down or not. Many of you will write them down, and then you can ask questions on those. We're going to open it up for questions, but then I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to turn the page to you, and I am going to hear your top 10 tricks, because you may not like some of mine, and you may say, hey, this has worked really well for our family, and I want you to bless all the people. So especially if you're somebody who's more experienced, not older, but just more experienced, and you're juggling these balls yourself, we want to hear from you at the very end. Are you with me? Okay, let's do it. Number one, is this mic even on? Yes. Okay, number one, your relationship with the Lord is foundational to all. I went to a couple of my advisors in my life and I asked them about this, and they said, man, let me tell you, I get off the rails in a few days if I'm not personally walking with the Lord. So you're going to say, oh, that's an assumed. No, that's not an assumed. People think they can run their family and their work and their ministry and balance it all without the Lord's help. You can't do that as well as with the Lord's help. So you have to be walking really closely with the Lord to maintain or find some level of balance. So number one, maintain your personal walk with the Lord. And a lot of times, Americans don't like to hear that. That means you got to get up and be with the Lord prior to all of the madness of this day starting every day. Because once the madness kicks in, man, you just start trying to navigate the waters. So you got to get the direction early on in the day and spend time with the Lord. So your personal relationship with the Lord is number one. It's foundational to all. Number two, and these are not in order of importance. These are in order of me and my wife talking through these. Set non-negotiables. We have found it very healthy to set non-negotiables. So For my wife, a non-negotiable is family night. We have family night every Sunday night. And then if I start to stray from that, she goes, no, it's family night. We're not going to schedule such and such because that's a non-negotiable. And that's a way that we prioritize family and keep family balanced in the mix of all of these other things is by saying, okay, with this thing that my kids are participating in, I'm not ever going to miss that. And it doesn't matter how much money somebody throws at me to develop a shopping center. The money doesn't matter. The family matters. With ministry, you know, there's certain things. So whatever your non-negotiables are, you say, I won't miss this. I will never do that. Set your non-negotiables to where you know when you're in a moment of clarity. Set non-negotiables. Number three, and I'm going to go through these pretty quick because I want to leave plenty of time to talk about them. Number three, there's times of intensity in one area that will cause difficulty in another. That's okay. That goes really closely with, let me see, the next one, which is make a plan and plan to follow it. So those two are tied together, and let me tell you why. We have a plan. I have a plan, a business plan for my job. I have a plan for what I want to accomplish with the Lord this year, and the Lord is able to change that at any moment He wants to because it's His ministry. I have our church. The eldership of our church has a plan of where what all do we want to see accomplished this year in the lives of the saints. What do we want to do with the preaching? What do we want to do with this? So we have a plan. And we plan to follow that plan. But when the plan gets off the track, it's okay. And that's really hard for some of the personalities in the room because if you make a plan, that's number four. I'm coming back to number three, that there's times of intensity in one that's going to cause difficulty in another. There was confusion over here. As an elder of the church, if you get a call and I'm at family night and there's somebody in the church that's suicidal, this has happened before. That time of intensity in one thing, which is ministry, you got to get up and go take care of that because it's critical. But then when there's times whenever one of your kids calls, I'm an entrepreneur, so I don't have like 8 to 5 hours. So if one of my kids calls and they're in a life crisis situation, one time I was in a meeting pitching for a really big assignment. It was a really, really big assignment. And my wife calls, look at it, reject, because I was in a meeting. Happens every day. It's not a big deal. It's like not a sign of no love for my wife. This happens all the time. She does it to me. She called back. And I was like, oh man, she doesn't know I'm in this meeting. But she called right back. She very seldom ever does that. So I said, sir, please excuse me. And I just answered the phone. And I didn't say hello. I just said, hey, Becky, I'm in a super important meeting. I'll call you back as soon as it's done. Boom. And I hang up and put the phone down. That would normally be okay. She called a third time. And I told the investor across the room who owned this property, I was like, she's never done this. I have to take the call. I'm sorry. I take the call. Brady, I'm on the loop. I had an accident. I have your three children. There's traffic everywhere. Please don't hang up on me again. Worst husband ever just hung up on my wife. She's bawling. I said, where are you? Such and such location. I'll be there in 2 seconds. So I literally have to walk out of one of my biggest business meetings of the year because there was a crisis in one area and crises happen. And for those of you who are planners and want everything to happen according to the plan, that's just not how life works. And so whenever I look at my life, I say, there's times I'm going to be really focused on certain family things. But then there's going to be a crisis in ministry and I'm going to have to take care of it. There's times I'm going to be really focused on work because I just put a lot of time into family, like the week after our family vacation. Well, then if there's a ministry crisis, I told all my employees and my partner in business, hey, this is a very high priority in my life. If something happens, I'm going to get up and go take care of it. And that was an agreement when we started the company. So that's point two and three is there's times of intensity in one area that's going to cause difficulty in another. That's okay. Balancing it all out is not a one-day thing. It's over time. Number four, don't shoot for perfection. Shoot for consistency. Let me just give you the best example ever of this. And unfortunately, two of my kids are in the room. And so I'm so accountable to tell the truth. We have a goal to have family devotionals. And one of my employees had a goal to have family devotionals. And he just started it 7 days a week because that sounded right. And I said, man, you're nuts. That's going to be really hard. And his wife sleeps late and he gets up early. And so our goal is 3 days a week. And we watched King of Glory, because I have all the way from 18 down to 6. And so Paul Branson's King of Glory, it's awesome because we watch it, works through the whole Bible. It's evangelical. We can talk about it at every level. It's amazing. We watch an episode of it, and then I ask each one of the kids a question while we're eating breakfast, and then we go to school. And I don't want to, and like there's times when we're having like, it's theater week or it's like whatever week and we don't hit 3 out of 3 and I'm a total slacker and my kids are exhausted because they were up till 1 in the morning doing philosophy homework or whatever it was. So we're shooting for consistency and we don't kill ourselves whenever we don't get perfection. But if I look back over the year and say family night, we had 48 to 50 family nights. We missed those 2 weeks. You know what? The Lord's okay with that. That was a really good year. And so whether it's family devotionals, family night, I have a bunch of examples here. Scheduling dates. My wife and I try to go on dates every week because with all of the ministry activity and all of the work activity, we don't ever want to lose our connection because we're the basis of the family unit and the home. Things fall apart if we're not in sync. So personal relationship with the Lord is one. Personal relationship with Becky is number two. So we, a long time ago, somebody gave us counsel, schedule a weekly date. That's really hard when you have little kids. Until your little kids grow up to be big kids and they can babysit the new little kids. It's awesome. It's so great. You don't even have to pay them. You're like, you want food tomorrow? Keep my kids. It's great. But some of you aren't in that life circumstance. You just have one little kid or whatever. And if you can afford to get a babysitter, that's great. But if you can't afford to get a babysitter, prioritize your marriage and call some other couple from your church that also can't afford a babysitter and say, hey, we'll watch your kids every first and third week while you go on a date. If you watch ours every fourth and whatever, even if you don't like their kids, just do it to where you can spend time with your wife. Figure out a way to do a regular, it doesn't have to be a weekly date, to keep those the connection happening. Because that's the basis of the home. So when it comes to family, I gotta learn the color of these things. When it comes to family, keep the relationship with number one very intimate. Number five. This may be number six. I'm sorry. Number six. We made a commitment. We got married, and this is crazy. I'm not suggesting this, young people. We got married when I was 20 and she was 18, and we decided we were going to minister together as a couple. So we hosted the Bible study, the college Bible study, in our home, and my wife made meals for all these college students that were coming over to our house. That was 20 years ago almost. We're celebrating almost our 20th anniversary. And so that was 20 years ago. And so when we go to Galilee, it's 3 weeks in southern Louisiana. We take all 5 kids and we go every year together. That was a non-negotiable that if I was going to do it, if I go, my whole family is going with me. You get me, you get us all. And she does a lot of women's ministry there. My kids are through the service side. They take care of the tables and clean up, play with the Galileans. Also with our college and career ministry, we have all the college students over to our house. We have an evangelistic Bible study that we host in our home. And so we have 20 to 30 college kids over. And while they're doing evangelism on campus, they felt the need for reinforcement to their campus evangelism. They want a place to invite them. And a lot of them are international kids. And so they said, hey, we need a place to bring these kids, especially into an American home. So for the last 5 years, we've hosted that evangelistic study. And so my kids are there, my wife's there. And so when I look at a lot of the ministries that the Lord has blessed have been very fruitful. DITP, she works with the women's side. Galilee, obviously in the eldership, she's not there. But ministering together as a family is a way to take two of these things, family and ministry, and closely align them to where it's enjoyable together as a family. So you get family time and you get ministry time. So it's kind of doubling up. So we found that to be a helpful tip. This is for all of you. This is especially for you working men. Be present. This is number 7. Be present wherever you are. I made the commitment whenever I started these companies to not take work home because for me, it's a slippery slope. When I start working at home, it's just like I never get caught up on work. I'm never caught up. In the last 5 years, I've never caught up on all the work I had to do. So if I bring it home, it just invades one of the areas. So I said ministry and family do this, but what I've made the decision to not do is put these two together and try to do family time and work time at the same time. So I do almost no work at the home whatsoever. When I go to the office, I'm fully present. So all my employees have unfiltered access to me, and we work together and helpful. And my family every now and then will come and invade our space, and it's awesome. And then they leave and we go back to work. And so just like my family doesn't live at my office doesn't live at my home. And there's times whenever we have family time that I tell all of the college kids, hey, I'm spending time with my kids right now. So there's, even though my kids love the college kids and the college kids are like big brothers and sisters to my kids, there's times I've got to separate those things so that wherever I am, I can be fully present. And that's, I like that phrase, because then you as a wife can ask your husband, if he gives you permission, to just say, hey, are you fully present right now? And that's a check. Okay, Lord, help me be fully present. When your kids are 2, 3, 4, they're gonna not going to notice that daddy's not fully present. When your kids are 10, 11, 12, 13, they're going to know daddy doesn't have, they don't have daddy's mind and heart when they're spending time together. So be fully present wherever you are. Number 8, be willing to make sacrifices. There's all kinds of sacrifices we make in life. I've written down several. There's times that I sacrifice money for ministry. If I worked more on certain hours, I know I would make more money because my job is such that it's variable pay income. So if I work more, I make more. But I really genuinely want to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and hear the words, well done, you good and faithful servant. You loved my sheep with a little bit of the heart that I love my sheep. And the only way to love them is to spend time with them. And so I take lunch breaks and schedule it with dudes from the chapel. There's times I say, hey, let's go get a drink right after work ends, 5:30. And like my wife, we set one of our, not non-negotiables, but an expectation is that I would leave the office at 6 to be home so that we can all sit together and eat as a family. Now, we're shooting for consistency, not perfection there. We don't always get that, but that's our goal. So I try right at the end of my work day to go meet with a dude from the chapel and just ask him how his walk with the Lord's doing. That's part of my ministry, is mentoring young men. So scheduling those things. And so making a sacrifice, I have to make a decision. I'm willing to sacrifice some money, which is an unquantifiable amount of money, for heavenly purposes. I don't know what your sacrifice is that God's going to ask you to make. In preparing for this conference, I had to make a sacrifice for 30 days of something that I really enjoy, and I had to set that aside for ministry purposes. So, I mean, for the ministry of preparing my heart to be right for this conference. So be willing to make sacrifices. We can further flesh that out in the question and answer if you want. Number 9. Okay, I'm back on my numbering system. Great. Communicate whether or not you're good at it. Dudes that aren't married, which is basically everybody in the front row. Let me talk to you, because I know and love 3 of you, and the rest of you I'll learn to love later. Some people are just natural communicators. Some people aren't. But if you want to have a healthy ministry and a, let me see, family, if you want to have a healthy family, healthy work, and healthy ministry, you have to communicate what's going on in your mind and your heart and your life. And for some of you, you're great at that. You don't even have to write it down as one of your things. For some of you, you stink at that, and you have to work at it really, really, really hard. Those dates are great because they make you sit down and communicate about the things you're thinking about and dreaming about and family issues. And so my wife added communication in there because it's tough, but it's necessary to maintain family life balance. Number 10, and this one I think is just so important. And so I have built a team of trusted advisors in every area of my life, and they're not all the same. So in my work life, I've got an entrepreneurial coach. He's in Toronto, which is crazy. And I'm in Texas. That's a long ways away. But I've got a phone all the time to this coach on business. I also have several local businessmen who are doing that love the Lord and are working unto the Lord in their work and in their ministries. And I can call them anytime to get advice. Elders of the local church, if I'm ever having any kind of family issue that I'm running into a wall and I can't figure out how to get over it, then I'll call the elders. I am one of the elders, but there's 3 elders that are like older, like 60-year-old elders, and they're super wise. And I go and ask them, hey, with the family, how do you navigate these waters? So in whatever area, whether it's work, whether it's ministry, I have ministry guys that I love to work with, and I call them about this conference. There's times I called Scott and said, hey, let's just pray for this, DeGroff or Steve Price or whomever. I just have people that I call. And so whatever you're at, you need to develop trusted counselors within each of these areas to give you advice, and you need to talk to them regularly and say, hey, here's what's going on in life. What do you think? Because you sometimes you're in the trees and you can't see the forest and you got to back up. Those are my 10. Now I want to, per my agenda, and this session is over at 11:45, right? 12, good. So we have 30 minutes. I thought it was 11:45, so I thought we had 15 minutes. Now I want you to tell me something, especially those of you who are married and have experience. I want you to tell us what you have found, and then we're going to take Q&As on all of this for everybody. So write down your questions, and if you have no questions, we'll end early and you'll be first ones to lunch. All right, so... Okay, who is married? Raise your hand.
Well, can I just supplement that we have some older single people that are taking care of older family members.
Perfect.
They balance family too, so I don't
Perfect.
Want to limit it to just husband, wife, that you could be a single person taking care of an older parent or something that you will run into the same issue.
Perfect, yeah, that's a great point. And so, okay, so a lot of the people in the room. So let's start, and I just want somebody to call it out, something that you have found extremely valuable. This list is by no means inspired by God. This one right here, it's inspired by God. This one over here, my little list, is not. So what is something that you found that's been very helpful in this that was not on my list?
Let me add another frustration is, where does car maintenance, yard maintenance, house maintenance fit into those three? Because as I try to balance family work, ministry, then the hot water heater goes out, or
right.
the landscaping project has to continue, and that's something else that demands a lot of my time that kind of separate from all that.
So yard maintenance falls squarely on the shoulders of my son, who's 16. Where do you live? South Carolina. No problem. He can come to you. He travels. Yeah, there's just daily life, yeah. And I agree. Life sometimes just drains us. So yard, water heater, man, we have tons of projects. Like our church just bought the house behind it because we want some housing for the DITP interns when they come. Well, the plumbing, none of the plumbing worked. I mean, like it was unlivable. And so the guy sold it to us for like $50,000-$60,000 under the appraised value because the house was literally unlivable. Somehow I got tasked with remodeling the whole house. And so all the plumbing, all the countertops, all the paint, all the whatever. And so that just like got, had to get squeezed in there. So there's always just life happening that has to get squeezed in. And maybe we could just make that another little orange right here. Life happens stuff. So, all right. I'm going to take thoughts from the audience. Yes.
Just, we do like a shared like, task. So like, it's not like always my thing or always his thing. So, like kids, like they'll change diaper. I will also change.
Yep.
But you find that like it helps a lot if like you have support from your spouse or your partner or whatever.
Do you actually have that list like written down of the things that are shared and the things that are individual? Okay, for the sake of the recording, in the audience they said sharing a list of especially to-dos, things around the house,
yeah.
Family stuff, changing diapers, etc.
Like I guess like life things, like it's not solely one person, like we like to do a lot of things together or like I don't know, like take over, like, oh yeah, like they're still off of something, I can handle like X, Y, and Z to like help with
the good. Good. Shared responsibilities within the home. I need to think about a lot of things that we should start sharing. All right. Yes, from the back.
Yeah, no, I'm single, so I don't have to live in a relationship, but I've definitely been brought into different situations with people that ask my advice. For some reason, they think I have some good advice. But going for what I know and what I feel, all of women in my life is really hard because what I know seems to always be right. Like, if I know, like, don't kill, all that kind of stuff, that's the stuff that I have to follow, but I always seem to slip off and fall from that I feel.
Okay.
Is right. So, just really that has been a problem in my life, especially after getting a baby, because feelings have been a really big issue for my life. So, just really just an effect on my family, kind of hanging with my family.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I really struggle.
How long have you been a believer?
Since I was 21, so about 9 years, 8 years.
8 or 9 years, okay. Well, the struggle is real. Let me just say, I'm not up here because I'm great at this. I'm up here because the struggle is real. Whenever I asked Steve Price what he said, he goes, oh man, they gave me that topic 5 years ago. How do you balance it? And he said, I asked Janet, how do we balance it? And she said, we don't. And so that's the best answer. Yeah, we don't. But at the same time, sharing life's responsibilities such as that, they're helpful tips. So does somebody else have a tip, whether for him or in this topic in general? I'm going to start calling on you by name.
I just want to reiterate that ministry together as a family is something that's been helpful in our home. Our children have just been raised to help in the kitchen or wherever. And so if a crisis happens, we can pretty quickly just, our kids are a little bit older than yours, but we can pretty much just, everybody can click into a mode and just go.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to really do a lot of explaining or talking. It's just, this just happened, we need to take care of it, and everybody just seems to kind of know what to do. It's not perfect all the time.
Yeah, no, I get it. One thing that I found very, on that very topic, very helpful is, and my wife, maybe that's why she said you need to communicate better, is if my family all understands the reason and the value and why I'm doing various ministry things, then when all of a sudden something happens with that ministry thing, it doesn't feel like a huge family sacrifice for me to have to step out and go take care of it, because they're fully bought into, my 8 and 6 year old would struggle more. My more adult children would say, Dad's doing that for the Lord. That's the Lord's work that needs to be done. And so communicating about the ministry to where my kids understand the heart of God in the ministries, I would say is also somewhat helpful. So that's good. Victoria from Louisiana.
I think acknowledging that there might be short-term loss, but you're working towards a long-term goal. So like training your kids to help with chores and like in the time when you're doing that, you know, you have the time to disciple them and talk to them and stuff like that. And so, you know, while in the moment it'll take more time, it'll kind of be a bit of a loss,
mm-hmm.
but you're working towards, like, their adulthood, their adult lives. And same thing with ministry. You know, there might be things that are easier in ministry in the moment. Like, for me, it's, I just want to do it because I'm not a good delegator. But I need to be able to train people on how to take responsibility and to let go.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So, yeah.
Be willing to let go. Hey, be willing to let go is actually something that I've had to learn really hard in the last couple, 3 years. Is because I'm not a control freak, but I do like to be a part of all the great things going on. And so I've had to do business with God of, is every ministry that I'm a part of right now what God really wants me to do? Or am I spread a mile wide and an inch deep, and should I pull it in and go deeper in some of these ministries and not try to have my hands in everything? God's given me 5 kids. I'm all in on those 5, but with the ministries of the local church, I don't have to be a part of it. So I have had to let some things go, and there's other people who can take them. So that's great advice. Craig, you were about to say something earlier?
Yeah, kind of was shared a little bit, but that prioritizing things of ministry and then also the stuff. Like what stuff, house stuff, business stuff, money things do I need to take care of? And what do I need a budget to pay somebody to take care of? And to not be afraid that that's a waste of money, because my time with my family and for the Lord is more valuable than my money that I'm going to spend to hire a plumber instead of plumbing. That kind of thing. Be willing to budget for stuff instead of trying to fix it myself if there's another priority. So prioritizing
is good. And using disposable money, one time I stayed up all night long to sheetrock upstairs of our house before the texture crew got there. And then the texture crew got there and he didn't speak English. And so for the Spanish speakers in the room, I just want to apologize up front that I'm going to tell you what he said. And I'm going to say it wrong. But he looked at me and I was exhausted. I'd sheetrocked all night long. And he says, amigo, hay veces cuando barato sale más caro y caro sale más barato. He's like, there's times when going cheaper costs you more money. And when spending more money is actually much cheaper. And he looked at my sheetrock job and he's like, this is one of those times. So there's times you should just hire somebody and, you know, save money in the end. Good call. Honey Bunny.
Kind of talked about this. He touched on it. But in, I think through a lot of the points that Brady mentioned, intentionality was a theme through all of them. In that, we live very intentionally. We make the most of every moment on the earth that God has given us. And we do the ministry that God has given us, which is the ministry of reconciliation, which is the ministry of bringing everyone to know Christ and to be a disciple of His. And so when we spend time with our children, when we work in the workplace, when we do ministry, it's all for the sake of making disciples and bringing people in to have an intimate relationship with Him. And those minuscule tasks, as a young mother, you think changing the diapers and doing all those things is just monotony. But if you ever spend time with somebody who has just a few days left of their life, one of the things that they talk about are those minuscule moments, those moments of monotony, because they've learned to number their days. And every day, every moment counts. So in all the little things that you're doing, there's a way to make it count. You think, I'm doing this because I love my family. I'm doing this, I'm going to bring along my son and we're going to work on the car together. We're going to do the yard work together because that's building a relationship with them. When we spend time together as a family, it's connection time. We connect with the pupils and we take vitals, not just physical vitals, but we take spiritual vitals. How are they doing deep down in their soul? What's going on inside? What are they thinking? And sometimes those things that come to the surface are not awesome things.
Oh.
There's things that you're not prepared for, especially with teenagers, because you've got emotions, and I mean, it's a roller coaster.
That's why you have family night every week, so you can prepare for it, but for the next week. Like when you get all that stuff, you got a week to get ready again to prepare for it emotionally.
Exactly. But the thing is, you're not going to be prepared for everything, and the fact is that the Lord is good and He's present, and we pray, and we give those things to the Lord, and He helps in our weakness.
Yeah, it's good. So if I could sum that up in one word, it's intentionality. Being intentional in every one of these areas of life. And my other session this afternoon is on work. And I would consider work one of my primary ministries right now, amongst those others, because I've got a great group of guys and I want to see them all going on for Christ at the office and want to represent Christ in the workplace. So being intentional in each one of those areas for God to be glorified in all things and in all areas of life.
With the way that ministry overlaps into your family life, there was a time in our life where I was feeling really guilty for the amount of time that we were spending ministering to young people and to our church and lots of other things. And so I was thinking, am I neglecting these kids? Am I neglecting them? And I just gave it to the Lord. I just prayed, and I said, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right. I don't know if we're doing this right, if we're heading in a good, healthy direction. And the Lord opened my eyes to see that as we lived communally, as we had a lot of people into our home, and our doors were always open, and people were staying with us, and young people were just, you know, revolving door, I started to notice that the way that I was pouring into these young people, they were pouring into my children, especially my older ones. And I started to notice that some of these older kids were, or these kids that we were spending so much time with, were making incredible impacts in my kids' lives spiritually. They were pouring into them, and I got to see the body of Christ work just within the four walls of our home. So, date nights. You young people, babysit for those young couples or the people that are pouring out for your sake. Give to them in that way. Take care of their children. And then couples, spend time with those young people. Have conversations with them before they go home that evening and really connect with them. And you get to see the Lord in your outpour and in your exhaustion. You get to see the Lord just bless and minister to you through them. And it really is refreshing spiritually as you pour out into their lives.
By way of definition, when we say the kids blessed our kids, the kids are the 18 to 35 year olds in our college group. Those are our kids. And the Galileans over here, they're all our kids. And so when we say the kids were blessing our children, that's what we mean. Okay, we have two more minutes for audience, throw out lessons that you've learned, because some of you have learned lessons and we'd like to hear them. And then we're going to take questions for the last 10 from anybody in the audience. So right now we're still in the tips portion. Yes, Shelley from Montana?
Manitoba.
I'm Nate.
North of Montana for sure. All right, go ahead.
Learn to say no.
Learn to say no.
Like there's things where you just have to not be involved in, and you kind of alluded to it, but being very intentional and very specific about what can we allow in and what can we not, mm-hmm. if we're going to deal with those, the work, the life, the family, and the ministry. There's things we can't be involved in, even though we would like to.
Yep.
Like to be involved in everything. It just doesn't. And in each group, not just saying, well, we can't be involved in that ministry, but no, our family can't participate in this as much as we would like to. And no, I can't do this for work.
That's a great point. We made a decision when we started the company that me and my guys weren't going to travel more than 2 hours away from home because we want to be at home every night with our families. And so we've lost money, but we just had to say no to assignments that didn't fit within our box because it wasn't worth the sacrifice. Our kids, they've got a lot of gifts and talents, and they go to a small school, and they want them to play on every sports team and be involved in every aspect of the school, from theater and athletics and academics and everything. And recently, to two big things, we had to say no, and it was really hard because our kids were like devastated. We're the worst parents ever. But the fact is, we're protecting that. Okay, Mike said it really well, of activity over intimacy. There's times we become so active with so many different things that we can lose our intimacy with the Lord. And so that's some of the best advice all day long, is just say no prayerfully. Pray about what to say yes to and what to say no to. Very good. Thank you from Manitoba, all the way from Canada today.
The opposite of that, though, is when you start having kids, you feel like you want to say no to everything.
Yeah.
And then you become a hermit with your family, and you become so inward focused that you ruin your family because you're
teaching your family the wrong thing, that it's all about us.
Yeah.
And a family centric life as opposed to a God centric life.
Learn to say yes also.
Okay, so we put those two things together. Be prayerful on what to say no to and when to say yes. Yeah, that's great, Craig. Thank you. All right, any other tips? You're going to leave here and you're going to regret. You're going to think, I should have said this. Go ahead. Just
don't make it personal. Learn to give over to God the things that you're holding on to. Whether it's something you need to be involved in, like the Galilean ministry, or we're doing camp work, or there's something that's not fitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know it eventually needs to happen, but it may not be yours to hang on to.
Good. Yeah.
It goes along with the saying no, and with the prayerfully considering what to get involved in. But at the end of the day, it's His, not yours.
Yeah, that's great. Like even Jesus in Mark chapter 6, He told the disciples, He goes, okay, we're on overload right now. Why don't we come away and rest for a while? Like the Lord Jesus said, let's come away and rest for a while. So and there was plenty of people still needed to be healed out there. Yep. But He had to say no, and He had to identify what things the Lord wanted Him to do at that very moment and be obedient. Okay, we had two back over here.
the board and everything, if you can be consistent.
Yeah.
That's from a lot of years of family and ministry. We didn't always get it right, but we'll try to be consistent.
When we were young parents, I'm a statistician kind of guy. I love stats. And so I was like, okay, what families have raised the best kids? And so we went out and we found the best kids, and not just in our church, like we could find. And we were like, okay, now I want to see the correlation. What did they do? Like, oh, they must all just spank the fire out of their kid. Nope, that wasn't it. Oh, they must do such and such. That wasn't it. And I had all of these things. And you know, the only thing that I could find was consistent across those five families, they consistently loved their children. Like, they loved them in a way that their kids felt loved, and they were consistent in love. And it wasn't discipline, and it wasn't homeschooling, and it wasn't everything else. It was like all these others. They were just consistent in the home. And it's the same thing in ministry. So, great emphasis there. Yes. Yeah.
Work, but it's not the same work. So like, and then once my kids will be campers, then I will be able to like go back and work in the kitchen. Or like, so like, it's like a different phase of life, and like some things will happen at like early stages, some things will happen later in life, and just like that you accept that's a thing. Like, seasons of life is definitely
good. Accepting that there are seasons of life. It's coming from in there. Yes.
Really quick, not comparing, you know, somebody else.
That's really wise. Okay, so for those, the recording, which if you're still with this recording, I'm amazed. And everybody else, she said not comparing yourself with others. Elaborate, that's really great.
So I struggled with this at the beginning, at my marriage, but with the ministry. So we work with a lot of young people. For the past 20-something years. And then my husband sold his practice, his veterinary practice, and then we take it on with kids from the ghetto. We work with a lot of really rough kids. And I remember, you know, the Lord had helped me to get over, trying to do everything. I want to do everything. I want to save up, you know. The Lord used me to just, you know, help get these kids saved and stuff like that. And, you know, and he helped me, you know, with the comparing thing. But then I have a lot of, especially the women, you know, like, you know, wishing to do what I'm doing, you know, especially as the younger ones, younger married people. You know, I wish I could do what you're doing. I wish I could do all of this. How do you do all of this? And I'm like, there was a time when we didn't even go to family camp. You know, Turkey Hill was one of our first camps that we go to the family because Ron was working. And, you know, he needed to work at the time. And so it just to know where the Lord have you and do, if it's in your family and that's all you can do, or if it's one ministry out here that Lord
that's
has
right.
you to do, don't compare with, because everybody's at a different time in life.
The Apostle Paul says that in two different places in the epistles, that it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. And there's reasons, because unto one, a certain amount of grace has been given, like a amount of grace has been given to work with kids in the ghetto and so on and so forth. And maybe to you, that grace has not been given. So if you're comparing yourself to her, then you're being unfair. God's called you to what he's called you to, which may be totally different. So not comparing yourselves is... is great. Good. Okay. We are going to break I'm going to break on time. I'm going to be that guy. And so we're going to pray, because they told me to pray for the food. So we're going to take a couple of questions or comments, but they got to be less than 40 seconds. Go.
I got one more. Establish accountability relationships from sin and to be faithful. I'm a single parent, so I don't have a spouse watching me and keeping me accountable. And so it's important to establish
good
accountability relationships.
Yeah, and I had that originally, but didn't make it into my final notes on the maintaining counselors. And it said also accountability from people that, not peer group, but whatever. So that's very good. All right, this is your last chance to say the thing burning in your soul. You're going to hate yourself over lunch for not saying it. Okay, 30 seconds or less.
What does that actually entail of taking accountability? So for the other person, when they're
Okay, let's talk about that afterwards, because that's a super specialty question. And so that doesn't apply to maintaining family life ministry balance, but accountability. I've learned if I'm going to get into an accountability relationship with some dudes, then I'm going to set boundaries up front on that. And if it doesn't fall within those boundaries real fast, I'm going to say, hey, it's not following the boundaries and you made the commitment to stay. So we can talk about that after the fact. All right. Hey, we're all in this battle together, but here's the thing. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the marketplace. He's the Lord of the family. He's certainly the Lord of the church. He loves the church. He loves the marketplace. He loves your family. And so he's the one who loves all those things far more than you do and wants what's good in all of those areas. And so thankfully we have a shepherd who leads us, who guides us. And as the psalmist says, he leads us beside still waters. He leads us into green pastures. And sometimes you feel like he's leading you through the valley of the shadow of death. But the main thing is, but he is with me. And that's the shepherd that we have to lead us through this. So don't have all the answers. I'm in the battle with you guys.